Welcome to Trust, a Lovecraftian podcast. This is our first episode, so I'm going to spend a little time orienting you and telling you a bit about what exactly this whole thing is. Trust is an experiment on my part. It grew out of my desire to host a Call of Cthulhu mini-campaign for the Halloween season. In addition to being the name of this podcast, Trust is also the name of that scenario, centered on the fictional Sawyer Family Trust, formed by the equally fictional John Abel Sawyer in the 1820s. Trust takes place primarily on Faulkner Island in northern Maine, which may or may not resemble Mount Desert Island to a greater or lesser extent. In fact, you may hear people refer, laughingly or not, to Acadia and Bar Harbor because, well, the maps that I provided of Faulkner Island and Faulkner Township are maps of Mount Desert Island and Bar Harbor with all the names changed and some geography switched around. But Lonesome Faulkner, the fictional Faulkner, has a long fictional history, as dedicated listeners may discover. But what is it that you're about to hear? Well, I took a microphone with me to the Call of Cthulhu game that I was planning to host and recorded actual tabletop gameplay. The first few episodes of Trust suffer from a lot of crosstalk, bad mic positioning, and sometimes an inability to hear the main action because of the volume of the people who are seated nearest to the mic. Now, I wander around when I run a game, so my voice will appear to be coming from all over the place. And I hope you can bear with these technical hitches and get into the story with us, because I think that it's a pretty good story. Before we begin, I should introduce the players. We have four attorneys at our table, including myself, which is one of the reasons why I designed a game structured around a legal instrument. Sinjin is sitting farthest away from the microphone, and his voice echoes the most. He's playing Richard Gallows, the attorney who has gathered everyone up for the winding up of the trust. Frank, who was gracious enough to let us use his house to play in, is playing the acerbic medical doctor, John Meadow. Jocelyn, my wife, sitting across from him, plays his sister, Barbara Meadow. Eric, next to Frank, who is a lawyer but stressed he did not want to play one in the game, is playing the electrical engineer, Carl Eigner. Mike, sitting at the opposite end of the table from Sinjin, plays the horror author, Bill Summers, and his girlfriend, sitting between him and Jocelyn, is another attorney, Caitlin, playing his wife, the psychologist Anna Summers. Now, you may be wondering what Call of Cthulhu is, or even who Lovecraft is, and if you aren't, you can feel free to jump forward a little bit. But if you are, I'll tell you that H.P. Lovecraft was an author who wrote around the turn of the last century up through the 1930s. At that time, a number of scientific advances overturned what had previously been thought of as settled and comprehensible ways of looking at the world. For Lovecraft, then, his fiction was a window into a dark and incomprehensible universe where man's knowledge was not only incomplete, but necessarily so. That is, he posited we lack the physical capacity to understand the true nature of the universe, and trying to do just that, trying to understand things, leads many of his protagonists to insanity. Indeed, cosmic vastness and the tiny, insignificant place of mankind in that equation plays an important role in both Lovecraft and Call of Cthulhu, as does the theme of madness. Now, Call of Cthulhu is a tabletop role-playing game. Basically, I designed the entire scenario, and I act as the rules engine, looking up rules in the book when I need to. We used the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, which I'm not as familiar with, but which I enjoy a great deal. I am used to playing the 5th and 6th editions from when I had bought them originally, but the 7th edition is a vast improvement, particularly in terms of the sanity system, which functions as a central organ of Call of Cthulhu. So you'll hear a lot of talk about sanity in the episodes to come and the sanity system. The sanity system shows us how stable a character is. Whenever they encounter things that are unsettling, they may lose that stability. And in fact, the more stability they lose, the more likely it is they will fail their sanity check when looking at something that would be otherwise unsettling. So the more crazy you become, the faster you become crazy in return in a negative feedback loop. The game is very deadly. It's very easy to die. as you will see within the first couple, sixth episode, it is very easy to die. So with that in mind, let us begin out at sea at Lonesome Faulkner Island, which has two points of accessibility. That is the land bridge that comes over the channel to Faulkner, which can either be driven over straight through from wherever you're coming from, or there's an airport nearby, or the ferry, which is a several hour long journey, which you can take your car on if you so desire. So with that in mind, we begin.
Yes.
All right, we need to discuss how you're going to get to Faulkner. Now, before we begin doing that, you've each received at your dwelling places a letter. A letter from Abel Sawyer, a relative that many of you didn't know you had. You also received a second letter that I didn't mail to you from Richard Gallows, giving you instructions on how to get to the island, whether by plane, by ferry, or by car. So you'll also have to figure out how you got there.
That's Gallows.
We probably drove.
Wait, you're Gallows?
I'm Gallows.
Okay.
I'm Gallows. I sent you a letter saying you have to get to
Echo Manor.
Echo Manor, yeah. Is that Abel Sawyer?
Yes.
Is the color green relevant to the color
green? Or emerald, so like a green color type.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, because it's Gallows is a god from D&D.
Alright.
I'm an asshole, I'm sorry.
It is also, to be fair, one of the things that Joe Pesci says his name is in...
Callow Gallo.
Yeah, okay. Pretty well. Anyway.
Two youths.
Moving on. That out of the way. So, you two, I imagine, have driven together and taken either the ferry or the land bridge. So you have arrived directly in Faulkner Township without seeing the rest of the island. You two,
driving,
land ship, land bridge, or ferry.
Bridge. We take the bridge. We just drive.
So you've seen
time.
Most of the island then.
I was looking to maybe ferry, but I don't know. Is it player choice or your choice? I'd go ferry, but.
Okay, so you were on the ferry, but that way you didn't know where they were.
Perfect.
So Faulkner Island is a lonesome, windswept place. The very farthest north of the reaches of Maine, very close to St. Croix, which is across the way, another small island off of the coast of Maine. Faulkner was actually discovered by Samuel Champlain as well, the same man who discovered St. Croix and named by him. The mountain at the center of Faulkner was named by him, that is St. Croix Mountain. And that in its lap is where you are all going to be spending quite a bit of time. Now, you two have driven the length and breadth of Faulkner Island, first crossing the long trestle bridge from the mainland and stopping at it. There's a small halfway island where there's a federal outpost there of the Park Service, and then crossing another trestle bridge, the island proper. And even as you did that and saw the breathtaking view of Faulkner Island and its trees in full orange and red of the fall, there was a police blockade set up checking cars. So you're stopped for a few minutes and your identifications were checked and then you were sent on your way. The island itself had many small towns. You went through about four of them, probably none of them with more than 500 or 600 people in them, clinging to the rocks between the sea and the trees. And you mostly spent your time going along the highway that followed the southern shore until you arrived in the south part of Faulkner Township proper, which is the largest town on the island and looks like it would be very fun in the summer, but right now it's mostly closed. You three have taken the ferry, so missed most of the island from up close, but rather seen it from far away. It has several major mountain peaks that are actually quite sizably tall, covered with tree cover, both pines and deciduous trees, which are now in their beginning of their fall phase. They haven't yet lost their leaves, but rather are all aflame. And seeing the little towns clutching the sides of the mountains, arriving at I believe Port Street in Faulkner proper, you
unwittingly went to the same place, all three of you arriving within hours of each other, and that is the Asgarth Inn and Hostelry in the back end of Faulkner, across from a number of fine Edwardian buildings that look like they've been there for centuries. The Asgarth Inn and Hostelry is a huge coaching inn. It looks like it must have been built in the 1700s. For what, you can't say, not knowing what kind of traffic an out-of-the-way place like this would have. But it's three blocks long and a block deep, with its own parking garage that appears to be a converted stables, and a restaurant and front lobby. The lobby is very homey looking when you arrive and check in. It's rather than being the standard hotel lobby with, you know, your glossy floors and check-in desk, it rather looks like you imagine the front part of an inn from the 1700s might look. It has a fireplace on the left, a Franklin stove on the right. It is bedecked with fall accoutrement, including some stuff for Halloween. There's cobwebs and black crepe paper, and a pair of double glass doors that lead into the restaurant behind. So, you've all arrived, and one by one, you receive calls to your room from none other than Richard Gallows. And where would you like to meet them? We can talk about potential spots in the town if you want, or, you know, here. Or...
Presumably, if they're just checking in, I suppose I would want to invite them either to meet me in my own office. What time of day are we? Like, do I know that they're arriving?
Yes, you know that they've gotten here and checked in because they're hotel calling.
Okay, well then I guess I would invite them all to come over to my office.
Okay. In that case...
I think unless this says that we're supposed to meet at the house, but I don't know if that's correct or not.
Up Spring Street, where meets Shannon, in the row of little Edwardian houses, is the law office of Richard Gallows. It is a old but restored Edwardian in bright red paint. With a front porch that wraps all the way around, a garret, and, you know, fine glass-faced front doors. And you each arrive there within 15 minutes of one another, slowly stepping up to the front entrance, and basically making your first acquaintance on the porch in front of Richard Gallows' office. So, you can describe yourselves. There's a very, very short, like, two- or three-word description on the back of your sheet, but you're welcome, other than that, to describe yourself however you imagine your character. And we'll just go around the table from Frank back to Jocelyn.
Okay.
Oh,
you're also
there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You guys are going
to
get invited in.
Yeah, but you can describe yourself. Okay. The only thing to keep in mind is your size. 55 is average. So anything under 50 is smaller than average in some way. Anything over 50 is larger than average in some way.
So it could be like tall and wide, or...
It's kind of like 100.
Yeah, just normal.
Like
I'm like tall.
I'm like me. It's just like balancing. What do you mean? I don't understand.
You're just like average. There's nothing like remarkable. You're not like really tall or really big.
I thought they were coming for me, but I can tell now that they're going...
They're going
away from me. Going away from me, yeah. I tell the helicopters every time. The helicopter's right.
Black helicopters.
You have a question?
Yes. Abel, this is, I'm assuming this is referring to Abel Sawyer being this Abel Sawyer, not Johnny.
Just
Sawyer,
like
you,
yes.
Right? Okay.
It's nice when it's an avatar of the person I can see. It makes it easier to imagine.
Do I have any background on that?
Myself.
Or, no.
Okay.
You've
just been told that.
Got it. Okay.
Today.
Do so
subtly. I was just been told that today?
Yeah.
Oh, I met with Samson a while ago, no?
You did, but
okay.
Abel wasn't dead.
I see, so I just scribbled this on right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I suppose you've actually found that out today because everybody's arriving and you did some background research.
Okay, got it.
You didn't get a Friday protocol.
Do you want us just to describe ourselves to each other?
Well,
you want me to start?
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So,
I was like, I'll start.
John Meadow is a... moderately young, in his 30s, tall, handsome fellow, with what's our family features?
I don't know. I was gonna wait for whatever you said and just go.
Okay.
That's what I look like.
Are we light haired or dark haired?
I know that we're pale. I know that I'm pale.
So John is also fair skinned with dark hair, like dark brown or almost black, and a clean shaved face except for about like a day's worth of stubble, just the start of a 5 o'clock shadow starting to form. Conventionally handsome, and like I said, tall, over 6 feet, and broad shouldered. A little bit on the weightier side with a bit of a gut, but that's the only place the weight seems to have congealed.
Because I've decided.
And then, what time of year is this again?
Fall.
Fall,
or middle of fall.
Okay, so then he's wearing like casual dress shoes. They're nice looking dress shoes, but they're not, whatchamacallit, it's not like patent leather or anything like that. And then kind of like Doc Martin or whatchamacallit, not Doc Martens, Dockers, like khakis, like khaki pants, and then a fall sweater, like a forest green sweater.
Okay. Carl
Eigen is a 5'10" male, a little bit, he's still young in appearance, but starting to show the beginning signs of aging. He carries a little bit more mass to what clearly used to be an athletic frame, but is no longer. He is beginning to have like a receding hairline and starting to gather the halo in the back, and the beard that he has just the first few hints of like silver gray hair starting to emerge amongst otherwise brown hair. That match his hair color matches almost perfectly with his brown eyes. He's wearing a blue button-down shirt that's tucked into his corduroy pants, like fairly deliberately tucked down to the point where he's doing it to keep the wrinkles from showing. He carries himself, despite being 5'10", he carries himself as if he is 6 foot tall, but he is very clearly not quite there. On his belt, you see a hunting knife that he's that is in a worn sheath.
You remind me of like somebody's uncle.
Yes.
Me?
That's it.
Yeah. So Bill Summers is a kind of a pale, sallow complexion, thin, gangly kind of guy. He's a little taller than average. And sort of gaunt and pale, has glasses, and he's wearing a black sweater, but it's sort of ill-fitting because he's kind of thin, and so you can see it sort of draping off of him, and it's just kind of like not tucked in. He's just wearing jeans, probably like black jeans also. He has just sort of black medium-length regular hair, but it looks kind of unwashed and a little greasy, but not like... Just kind of like somebody who just doesn't seem to care about his physical appearance that much and what he comes off to other people. And you can see him sort of casually like assessing and like looking around at everybody, but like not really engaging with anybody, but sort of like looking at them and like not judging, but you kind of get a sense that he's judging people, but it's more just like he's assessing them but without really saying anything.
Okay. Assessment, judgment.
There's our clue for the hearing right there. Who's that guy in all black that's just looking at us?
I'm my wife.
Sorry, Spider-Man.
I know. Right.
But you haven't been
very important.
You're not forgiven yet.
So Anna Summers is like an average-sized female, a little bit curvy. She's probably, well, she is wearing like an A-line dress with a sweater on top. She has glasses. Her hair is back in a bun, not too tight because she doesn't want to look severe. Her face is like, her cheeks are flushed, so it makes her look very young. And her what else am I surviving? Oh, it's like dirty blonde hair. Seems very approachable, but if you were to kind of look at her in your peripheral and like catch her looking at other people, then she might have a little bit of a severe look to her. and her her arm is around Bill Summers' arm.
Name the size of her arm. So thick. All right, and last up is Barbara Meadow. She is 5'5", very pale skin, long, dark brown hair parted in the middle, but not a crisp part. It's a little kind of just like it fell that way and she never bothered to change it. She's wearing a wrap skirt, like a almost like a Polynesian style batiked wrap skirt, a t-shirt that's a little misshapen, maybe some stains on it, but like it had been washed several times since then, and a shawl that she probably knit herself. It's the yarn has a lot of I don't know, little fine hairs around it, so it looks very warm and.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about everybody at the table.
What do you mean? This is just who I am. If I could be this is what I would be.
I mean, this sounds a lot like Myrtle.
Untidy was one of my descriptors.
Oh, I see.
I put her hair down specifically to be different.
Got it.
On her feet are some tall hiking boots that she's wrapped up. It looks like she's gone dumpster diving in her life, and
This is Myrtle.
This is Myrtle.
It is, okay?
This is a cartoon character from a different season.
The shawl is clasped with a silver pin that might be a tree branch or it might be a lightning pole.
This character hasn't died yet, so.
Okay, fair.
So we'll wait for the clasp.
Yes.
Yeah, well, resurrection is much worse than this.
You see her carrying a big, like, carpet bag may be the wrong word, but that sort of style bag, and in it, it's clear that there's not just clothes, there are like books that are also like crammed in there.
Okay.
What year is it?
It is this year. It is 2017.
And it's like this.
It is today.
Okay.
But it's cool. Way cooler than it is today.
Oh, whoa. Goodness!
That is so awesome.
Yeah, that would make it more awesome.
Like, agree to disagree.
It's 50 degrees. Not 80.
Well, coming down to the door, assuming that one of you banged on the door or rang the doorbell or something.
Carl
like
would.
You have a front room that's like for meeting with clients, and then in the back there's like a little kitchen that used to be a servant's quarters.
Is it Carl with a K or a C?
Where you're just across from that is your parents' old secretary's office, and then upstairs is your office. Up a big grand staircase.
Okay. Well, to the door comes Richard Gallows, who is dressed in a gray suit, no tie, but a very crisp white shirt. Looks well put together. He has blonde hair and is very tanned. He spends way too much time hiking around the island, given that he's like in State Park, as one would. So, hello everyone. I see you've all met.
Well,
not really.
That's a little generous there.
Okay, well, come on in. He ushers you into the front room.
All right, the front room is a parlor. It looks like it hasn't been changed much since the building was actually a house. There's a fireplace that's currently not in use, and it doesn't look like Gallows ever actually uses it, but there's also a big rug, a very old, dusty Turkish rug, with a low table of mahogany in the center, and a Victorian couch across from it, and several wooden frame chairs with cane woven seats.
So the law business is good in Faulkner Island, I see.
Yeah, I mean, every small town needs a lawyer.
And are you the only lawyer in town?
I assume not.
You are one of four lawyers in Faulkner. There's another firm that closed called Peace and Fuller in Seal Harbor.
No, I'm not the only lawyer in town, but but anyway, I'm
the best one.
Yeah, well, of course I'm the best one. Thank you. Would you all see?
See.
Okay.
Sit.
Is it like a living room sort of situation,
yeah,
or is it like a
Then I would pick the chair that's like kind of removed from everybody else, like the one that's farthest away from everybody.
So if I was going to sit.
Yeah.
I will immediately suspect him of everything.
I'll sit on the couch, but as I do, I'm going to kind of examine the couch for its quality. Yeah.
I'm already sitting.
Got your feet up. Your boots are off.
It was a month and a half ago.
A month and a half.
This was just the only time that everybody could get
it. Because.
And I nailed them all.
Are you
sitting
at?
Yes.
Probably. Excuse me.
I was just asking. It feels like a trigger on the chair.
Okay.
You nailed after.
Sit down. I forgot your name.
I had to think about it for a second, too, and I was like, oh, it's so easy because it's the name of, from My Living Dead. Coming to Barbara.
Hmm?
It's I'm coming to get you, Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
it. Not a Living Dead.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead.
Is referencing My Living Dead.
Yeah. Well, you just got memes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like on the couch.
Yeah.
About
wait, what's a meme?
Zombie movies.
An idea.
The Barbara thing a meme? You wouldn't know.
The Barbara thing is a meme?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
John. They're all on the sheet.
Where?
If you look at the back.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we got a thing.
What a world.
Mine is not filled out.
That's okay. I don't have no sanity.
Isn't it?
No, I'm filling it out right now.
Oh, for the other people?
Yeah.
I've just been doing it.
Oh, I just wrote the wrong.
So,
what was your name, Jocelyn?
I'm Barbara.
Barbara.
Robert. Could you not
Barbara.
Give me a worse name?
Actually, can I see the letter that I sent?
Yeah.
Yep, got one for you right here.
No.
Oh, okay. That letter doesn't exist. Okay, so I don't
there's no physical copy. That's not his
name. Did I tell them like why they were coming and everything?
Yes.
Like,
you informed them that there's a trust and that the trust has ended by its terms and that they are the recipients.
Okay, so I didn't give them any details about it.
No.
Okay, got it. All right. Okay, so do any of you know Abel Sawyer?
No.
Can't say I do.
Would
not even familiar with the name Sawyer,
would I
be honest
with him at all? Just from like. Okay.
Is he a friend of yours?
No, he's not a friend, but that's why you're here. How did you all get to the island?
I took a boat.
We drove.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, why are we here?
I'm gonna explain that in just a minute, but. One of the things that I was hoping was if you took a boat, would you happen to still have yours? Would you happen to still have the ticket stubs?
I'm going to check my pockets. Can I throw it away?
It's up to you guys.
Reimburse us?
It's to find. I just want to see. You know, have you spent any time on the island recently? Have you been here? Is really what I'm wondering.
Today, we just arrived today.
Okay.
We drove through the island.
Okay. So, one of the things that I need to do is, in order to deal with the trust, you're all here because you are the heirs to, for a lot of, I mean, are they heirs, technically? I don't know, but anyway.
Beneficiaries?
They're
beneficiaries. They're
potential beneficiaries, right?
Well,
no,
receive the
benefit
of the trust as it's in operation. They're like some kind of remainder men.
Yeah. Okay, so you're all remainder men, which is basically the same thing as an heir.
Can I use my knowledge of language to understand what that is?
I mean, sure. The long and short of it is someone died and wanted to leave things to you.
What sort of things?
Land, for one thing. On the island here, which would be quite valuable. So it's a matter of, you could say that the it was a very wealthy family, Sawyer family, and the trust that was set up at the time of John Abel Sawyer's death, which might have been, or I suppose during his life, 200 years ago, thereabouts.
What happened to the Sawyers?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Can we just do the reading, or is there some reason that you can't just go?
There isn't a will. There was a trust set up. I think
this is not feeling like a real legal.
Yes, I think that
I have no problem playing that.
Yeah,
that client actually.
Like, will that was
well, this means nothing to me, and I'm contentious.
Stop using your weird lawyer speak on me.
Okay, so no, this is not to dispose of Abel Sawyer, who was the most recent. Abel Sawyer's death trigger the end of the trust, which had the property, which is now going to be distributed.
Okay, so the trust is being dissolved?
Yes, you could say that.
Okay.
It's being wound up.
So, I mean, it's not going to exist after whatever...
Correct.
Okay.
The things that belong to the trust will soon belong to you or some of you. It'll depend on how things go.
Now, do you already know, like, is there any way that that's, like, streamlined, that you already know?
I actually don't. There is an envelope here that I'm not supposed to open until you are all here. Now you are all here. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Do we need to get a hotel room for tonight, or is this going to be wrapped up this afternoon?
No, you will need to get a hotel room for the evening. You will be here for, I would estimate you're going to be here for at least, four nights. I'm sorry, on the fourth night, your accommodation will be accounted for.
what?
Yeah, on the fourth night, your accommodation will be taken care of on the fourth night, and thereafter, if you need to stay any longer.
Okay, so the first three nights are out of our pocket.
Correct.
And then
every
subsequent night after
that
is...
Why is that the case?
I could not tell you. I honestly haven't...
Aren't you the one who is telling us?
I couldn't tell you why. The trust says that on the fourth night following your arrival at Faulkner Island, and no earlier, you will be given accommodation at Echo Manor, which is a large piece of property.
Which
on
Sawyer's?
Yes, correct. It belonged to the trust since John Abel Sawyer's death 200 years ago, and the Sawyers have been living on it subsequent to that.
Yeah, I will hand him the ticket stub.
Okay, I'm
going to
verify that it's
definitely would have that ticket stub.
Because we can just leave at any time.
How long...
No, that's what I'm saying, let's just see.
How long have you been working for the Sawyer family?
I inherited this case file from another lawyer.
Just recently, or...?
No, about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So when did Sawyer die, then?
Well... Abel Sawyer passed away recently.
Under, like, how? Natural causes?
Well, hang on a second. So did you guys have the ticket stubs from your ferry passage?
I mean...
Maybe we left it in the car. I'm not sure kind of why we're being questioned like this.
I mean, it's only to find out when you arrive on the island. It has to do with the trust. I don't know what to tell you.
We came here today.
Okay.
If it means
like,
anything for
like
you...
An hour and a minute... affects our stance on this trust, or, I mean...
Well,
before
you answer that question, even though they don't have their ticket stub, I do remember seeing them on the ferry.
Okay. Well, who the fuck are you?
What's that?
I said, no, I hope we put these in the red envelopes.
I bumped into you on the ferry.
Yeah, I know. Like, what are you, the class tattletale? You don't need to... Yeah, we were on the ferry, and we probably have our ticket stubs. Thank you.
Okay, well, I mean, that's...
I'd like to move this process along. It's taken this guy 6 minutes to open up this envelope for us.
Because
we haven't been able to decide if we all have our
ticket
stubs.
Or not. Okay, well,
yeah.
I didn't realize that was going to be the full process.
I also should let you know how you're all related and why you're all here.
We're related?
I suppose you're wondering why you're all here.
Maybe not.
That's just a joke.
Physically.
Wow.
Watch movies?
All right. It's not the time.
I mean, I am still wondering why.
Okay, so,
you're
none of you
you're
knew
wondering?
Abel Sawyer.
Nope.
Is that correct?
It's...
Yes.
Okay, so,
correct.
My understanding is that Abel Sawyer, his sister, June Sawyer, is Anna's mother,
yes.
Is June Sawyer. So that would make Abel Sawyer your uncle.
Okay.
Abel Sawyer was married to Elizabeth. Is that one girl? What is that?
They're all that line was all brothers and sisters.
Ah, I see. Okay. And then Elizabeth Sawyer married someone, Meadow, who I'm not sure. But that would make Abel Sawyer John and Barbara's uncle also. Carl.
Yes, sir.
I believe Abel Sawyer would be your great uncle? No, your Your father was David, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. His mother was Lydia.
Yes.
Who was, is that also brother and sister, or is that one step removed? So he was a cousin of Abel? Okay, so I suppose that would make Abel your...
first cousin?
Great-grand cousin or something.
First cousin.
Not first cousin.
Second cousin?
I don't know how second cousin works. But definitely not first cousin. That's
they don't
sure.
put that on the
You're
bar.
You're related anyway. You are in the line. So,
in the line, but apparently far more removed than the rest of us are.
Yeah.
I'm not related to any of them at all. I'm just here with you.
Through me, you are.
Right. That's correct.
It's almost like half of
I never liked them anyway.
Looks like we're on the shallow end of the inheritance pool.
Trust me,
should
you don't want to be involved with these people.
Getting the trust?
No, I know your family, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose they're almost are not close
relations. It's best.
Yeah. But we'll. I mean, I suppose we'll get to that. I assume the trust is going to help us have to.
Okay. I mean,
how to do
your thing with
it. Okay. So.
Hold on. What does that make all of us to each other?
Distant
non-entity.
Yeah. You are all standing to gain from the dissolution of this trust.
Financial partners, then.
If you like. Okay.
No. How are we not financial partners? Like, whatever this thing is, once it's split up, that's it, pal.
Okay, so I'm going to read this letter.
Let's move through this process, then.
That's what I'm saying.
Frank, who is
the sooner
my
I can get rid of you, the better.
If everyone arrives safely, then all is for the... Oh, wait, am I reading this aloud? I suppose... I don't know if I'm reading this aloud or not.
Yeah.
Would I know that from my conversation with Samson?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to hang on one second.
Long trip to come watch somebody read.
Name is Meadow.
I live in New York.
I live
okay.
in New York.
All right, I'm like going over my phone.
Is there a, you said it's like a living room.
I'm
setting.
Double checking
so is there like a coffee
what
table?
The requirements are for fishing.
Yeah.
Does it have like some snacks on it?
No, it just has like
some Werther's or something.
There's no, yeah, like there's no treats? There's no candy?
No treats. What kind of law office doesn't have any treats?
My law office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no treats. There's rarely people.
Sandra!
Yes?
What's the Wi-Fi password?
I don't think it's locked.
It's not.
I'm gonna go on there and try and find a hotel room.
Is there
you
any?
Have a hotel room. You were just at
Asgarth
in
the. Oh yeah. You're right. You described it.
You checked it.
I called you
no,
at your hotel room.
You have,
I thought that we were like.
You have a hotel room for one night because you were told that.
The longer we stay in
I mean,
the legal jargon,
it, but
the
I a little bit out of
to the cosmic core. Is there? Are there any like paintings or like?
There are
like decorations
in the room.
Or like statues, like any kind of like stuff that seems like it's from the area. Like,
well, there's two paintings, both of which are of cliffside scenes with stormy, turbulent seas.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm just kind of like wandering around.
You can see
like,
the one closest to you.
That's
a little
true, that's true, but I was looking at the map.
Yes.
I do have a notebook, so I'm gonna be walking around the room with my notebook. And just like looking at the pictures and like writing down like little
okay,
things
flats.
About like.
Okay.
Yeah, but is this?
Okay.
No, you're right. That's 198. This map is all.
Oh, look on the back of the envelope.
On the back of the letter.
Show us
custom
envelope.
Sure.
No, I
okay,
don't want
to
write
so
the
I'm sorry to say
I can just...
that this is getting more and more eccentric as we go. We are going to need to go to
big surprise.
The, we're going to need to go to the to Echo Manor itself. Which is in the center of the island. Does anyone have a vehicle?
Yes,
we
do.
Okay.
We have a car. Oh,
drives
so
by boat.
Do we know, like, what kind of car? Like, does it matter what kind of car we have?
No. It was just, it was
yeah,
a passenger.
Yeah, we probably just have, like an SUV or something.
I'm somewhat confused. Why do you need to accompany us?
Why do I need to accompany you to the...
Well, you said we
manor.
All. Yeah.
Yes, we need to go to the manor.
Okay.
Can't this guy be declared like legally insane or something like that? And we can just circumnavigate the whole.
No.
That would be better than.
I'm serious. It's not. That's not going to be possible.
Oh, so if I'm a loon and I tell my attorney to come up with a, like, you know, that
if
my.
If you're dead, then there's not a lot we can do about it except follow those rules. Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Do you
get paid?
Typically, do this kind of work.
Yes, it's not typically this. I don't know what the word is for this. Whatever this is, it's not usually like this. But yeah, this is the kind of work that I do.
Do you get paid hourly?
I mean. Yes.
And you're paid out of the trust?
Yes.
Let's go
this
to this place. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You can come in our car and tell us where we're going. And,
I'll drive separately. You can follow me.
But
great.
We still have more questions for you.
We can...
We'll talk... I mean, well, we can talk now or we can talk when we get there.
Well, some people want to leave.
We're being charged hourly.
Can I read
what's
him
your,
at all?
What's your
like,
hourly rate?
Okay,
I mean,
can
we... Have to ask Sandra, no idea.
I don't think you can use a psychology skill on a piece of
the realist answer.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. What's the address so we can just plug that in?
How far is it from where we are?
I believe it's something like
I don't want to look at the map.
Roughly, right?
I've never been to the island.
Yeah, that's his map that he sent you.
It's about 20 minutes away. I actually sent you all directions for how to get to the manor from the inn. So you should all be able to get there. It's just a question of... And if you don't have transportation, I'm happy to give you a ride.
And this must be a local thing, but you totally omitted 198 down the road. It says to go from 233 to 102, and that's not the case.
Do you know the island well?
I mean, no, but I know how to read a map.
Okay. Well, have any of you been to the island before?
Never.
Never?
Never.
No? Anyone ever visit Acadia National Park? No?
No.
No.
It's not Acadia, it's St. Croix here.
I'm sorry, St. Croix here?
That's you look like you,
I see. St. Croix. Okay.
Okay, it's not a different island. It's in a different part of Maine.
I see. St. Croix.
So the harbor is still our harbor. It would have been a lot of work to change that entire thing.
Annoying. And just to be clear, like, you know, in terms of, like I said, you guys all took the bar more recently than me, so I'm not 100% sure on this. My client technically is the trust. It is not Abel.
Correct.
Is that correct? Yes. So, like, I don't, like, I...
Like, the bar matters. That's
Abel's
like,
wishes are not what is controlled in my action.
Well, there is a section of the trust.
What's that? Does that make you the fiduciary? Isn't that the term for that?
That's certainly a term.
But is it the term for...
That's a word. That's
but
real.
Isn't that, I thought a fiduciary was the person that was administering for the trust.
Got
that's also
you.
The name
okay,
of the type of
better.
Duty
right.
that you have.
I'm
it
sorry.
Just means
okay.
that you're acting in the best financial interest of the client.
Okay.
And there's different names for different types.
Okay. I mean, that was an actual question that I, like, I'm not...
Okay, but
know,
I'm just
so.
An electrical engineer, so I don't know.
That was an out of character question.
That's not the type of law I do, so I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so I will meet you all at the manor. I'll give you time to go back to your rooms if you need to. I don't know if anyone needs to.
Let's find out what we're doing here.
Okay.
I'm ready to head out with you if you've still got that offer for transportation.
Yep, absolutely.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
I will have pre-packed a bag, so I'm just going to bring that with me.
Okay, so
I guess I'll wait outside of the parking garage for the inn, and you can follow me on
what
the way.
What kind of bag are you
taking? It's going to, it's
is
a...
Is like a briefcase or is it like a...
Well, I have a briefcase with me, but I'm also grabbing, I guess it'll just be a backpack.
Let's
go back to the
I
room.
Just want to know how
creeped
out I am.
Oh, no, it's like you've got clothing in it or something. Like, whatever.
Are we going to be at this place for a while?
You could change.
No, the trunk, I mean...
Well, it just looks like you're grabbing clothes.
Yes, Abel wanted me to spend the night there, but you guys are not to spend the night there. Don't ask me.
Okay,
well,
never mind. I don't need to.
You're the lawyer, so I'm going to default to you on this one.
I
can
tell you what the story is.
Just because Abel wants you to spend
you
the night there,
you
do you have to?
No, I don't have to.
Oh.
I mean, I could not.
This is bizarre.
You can't tell us or you won't tell us?
I don't know.
He just told us.
All right, everyone...
There was information that apparently I just discovered this very moment. There's information that Abel left at the manor that he wants me to give to you now.
All right.
And you've never met him.
Correct.
All right.
Well, off we go.
Okay. Do I have any notion of what happened to
Satin Traffic? All night.
You can try to find one, but you haven't seen one yet.
Okay, got it. I didn't like questions.
So you found out two recently.
I found out now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Two separate. You made inquiries as to why the trust was the winding up was triggered by a letter that was sent to you.
Got it. Okay.
Not by knowledge of how or what the circumstances were.
Okay. So
if you want to find out what they were, you will have to do some investigation.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well then, did you need to go back to your room?
I'm dependent on you for the ride.
Right. I'm gonna wait outside the inn to give everyone directions.
Perfect. Then I'll head back.
Okay. Well, knowing Bar Harbor is... I mean, not Bar Harbor. Faulkner is really small. I'm gonna, walk to a police station or whatever.
Okay. The central police station is on the main green across from Town Hall on the north side, the library and archive on the east side, and in the center of the main green is a war monument from the Civil War. Obelisk with names carved into it. Okay, so you walk over to the police station. I'll take a second to find my notes. And the station is an old building, as are all of the buildings on the green, most of which appear to date to the early 1800s, or earlier mid-1800s. It's a big brick building. With a couple of patrol cars parked on the side, and you know, just as a matter of course, that there are not very many police officers in Faulkner. There's probably no more than 30 or 40, and then spread throughout the rest of the island, there's probably another 40 other little townships. So you head into the police station, and you see the booking area, which is dead and sleepy as normal. There is a sergeant sleeping behind the desk with a horror novel open on his chest. You can tell it's horror novel because it has a dark cover and what looks like blood splattered on the back.
Can I see his badge?
You can't.
Or name tag or whatever you call it?
He is Harvey Stubbs.
Okay. Officer Stubbs.
He snorts, wakes up, swivels forward in his chair, and blinks. Oh! You're the lawyer.
Yes, that's right. I was wondering if I could put in a request for a police report.
We don't usually give those out.
Yeah, so one of my clients the murder recently.
Yep. The Sawyer murder?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Police report for the Sawyer. No. Police report on the Sawyer murder.
As I said, he was one of my clients, and...
I'm not sure if that's legal.
Can I make a law check to find out if it's legal?
Sure.
And or to make it legal?
You can't change the law.
Can I make it legalese-ish?
You influence. Use your lawyer speak.
First roll of the night. Getting closer to the seventh age, right?
Oh,
seventh C.
Do you think it's actually under my law school right now?
Hmm?
Yeah, you need to right,
make a check against the law because you used it. There is no law prohibiting the police officers from giving you a police report. Only police procedure.
Okay.
Sounds like real life.
Okay, so I'm gonna use that to try and convince him.
Go ahead.
In terms of, listen, officer, there isn't really any reason that you couldn't accept that. There's no law against it. It's not illegal, it's just a question of whether or not it's at your discretion, really. That's what it comes down to. And as I said, it's really...
Why do you need it?
So, I'm managing Mabel's last wishes, and one of the things that is important to the trust that he lived off of is whether or not any of the people who were due to inherit had anything to do with his death.
Alright, well, I'll run it up the ladder and see if we can get you something.
Honestly, I don't think it's going to have any huge bearing. It's really a question of who, if there's any suspects, if they know any of the people who might be inheriting. It's not a big deal. It's just something that I actually need to do my job.
Well, you might be better off... you might be better off talking to my brother, who was actually up there at the manor. He's the one who came up the... I guess it was the gardener or something called.
Your brother went to this... was the one who investigated.
That's right. And Detective Potter also.
Detective?
He was the detective on the scene.
So, I'm sorry, Detective Potter and what's your brother's name?
Ed. Nah, that's Stubbs.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Now, are they going to be working tomorrow, do you know?
Well, they're working most days. I think Potter's over at the cafe with Roy Grigg.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. Have a good one.
You too. And if you could put in that request for me, I don't know if we'll go anywhere, but I would appreciate it.
Well, I can tell you this. It was grisly enough that a lot of us went up to go take a look.
Yikes. What do you mean by that? What was most grisly about it?
I mean, somebody really cut the guy up.
Like, Jesus.
A lot.
You know, like, with what?
Something sharp. A knife, I guess.
Jesus. Okay. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Oh, big deal. Big deal. My brother still has trouble sleeping.
Wow. They haven't made any arrests or anything.
No, I guess we figured it was just a vagrant or something. I'm not sure what the case is.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, I'm going to go get my car and then bring it. I don't know if I get a sanity check for, like, hearing about a grisly murder, right? Okay.
I'll tell you when you're
going to say it. Okay. I'm going to go grab my car and bring it around and turn my flashlight on outside. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Trust, a Lovecraftian podcast. The story of Trust will be back in 2 weeks with episode 2, House of Echoes. Next week will be an interstitial episode where we will read The Color Out of Space and talk a little bit about Lovecraft. The main theme of Trust was composed and provided by Alec Tunks. His SoundCloud address is SoundCloud/Alec, ALEC-TUNKS. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Trust.